Talk at 9
with Gushwell Brooks
on 702
for the curious.
Welcome back. You're listening to Gushwell Brooks here on 702 and Cape Talk. Great to be in your company, of course, on hashtag Talk at 9. That's what you look for on Twitter. And up next, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Now, I don't know how these two call themselves underdogs. I just don't. But they refer to themselves as underdogs. John Flismus, former comedian and serial entrepreneur, and now a faculty member at Henley and a disruptive educator, international speaker, that is, of course, and of course, Carmen Murray, who is a founder of Booyah, Modern Marketing Services International Speaker as well. I mean, I don't know how the two of you refer to yourselves as underdogs, but anyway, good evening, underdogs.
I hope
hello.
You're doing
well. Woof, woof.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why you would say we weren't underdogs in this new context.
I'm offended.
I mean, we're already the underdogs in the studio. You see, we've been boxed.
No, because my thing is, I mean, both, you know, I mean, I would love to be known as an international speaker. Right now, I'm just a local speaker to people in Joburg and Cape Town.
Yeah, I think it's
that's
more
about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I think it's more about where we come from, not where we are.
Ah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's that's kind of what we have in common, is we've identified that a lot is done by people who develop resilience and grit by being outside of the popular norm.
But now tell me, and this is for me the part that I find interesting, because I like that type of thinking, because it's easy to become complacent and arrogant, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I am the great John Flismus. I started stand up in this country. You know, I'm the king. You could turn around and say, you know, I'm the boss of bosses. You know, I'm the BB. I'm not going to go into
what that all says. I have a word, but I'm not going to use it. We're on air. I'm going to be careful.
I'll get fired. I'll get fired, and people might just, you know, hashtag me to me. You know. But the issue ultimately is that you could find yourself in that space. I mean, Carmen, how do you see it? I mean, do you, especially as I said, you know, I don't see you as an underdog, but that's how you described yourself. Why specifically that title for you?
I think it's more for me about, I grew up being like very Christian and to abide by religion and all of that kind of stuff. And there's a stage in my life where I don't know if I necessarily want to adopt other people's values. And I'm now enjoying the journey of learning what I stand for and actually becoming completely resilient. You know, there's that quote by, Apple, when they did that ad, and they said, you can quote me, you can disagree with me, you can glorify or you can vilify me, but the only thing that you can't do is ignore me. So that's kind of the approach that I have reached in my in my latter years. And I think that's what makes me an underdog, is because I don't care. And I think that there's so many people out there exactly like us.
Yeah.
So let's look at this new journey. I mean, what is the new journey? And it seems, you know, as I said, the two of you are here to disrupt us this evening.
Yes.
And it's a very disruptive space.
Sure.
Someone actually asked me about it recently, and my response was, well, you know, it takes a lot of work, because, you know, for people that I guess are in the industry, inverted commas, you understand that it takes work. It's not the young guy or the young lady listening to our show now thinking that I can just jump into podcasting and I'm going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, I think that the podcasting will be like comedy. Everyone will do it and then the amateurs will go away. Everyone's going to think it's the new Bitcoin. Like, humans are very easy to hack. That you can get humans excited really easily, and you can build real value in a business sense out of complete hype. Sentiment changes share prices before anything else does.
Yeah.
That's how, you know, something like Steinhoff can build enormous value that absolutely doesn't exist with complete credibility.
True.
So I think that's the first thing is there is a fad. It is the flavor of the month.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really underlying it, like much like, let's say, blockchain, you know, underpins the value of Bitcoin. That's the true value. There will be those people who understand podcasting to be a genuinely useful way to distribute great information.
Yeah.
And for yourself?
No, totally. I mean, I've been in the podcasting industry now for...
You're doing it like
two and a half years. And I actually have a very successful podcast, The Carmen Murray Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found it to really liberate me in so many ways. But I think we're moving into an era of ear share is the new mind share. So people want to listen to things on demand, and you can take like this interview, for example, and publish it into the podcast, and it's on demand. Listen when I have time for it. There might be a lot of people out there that's already in bed sleeping, you know, and then tomorrow morning they can listen to the show. So I think podcast is essential. But one thing that I think is even more important, but I don't want to give away all of the secrets. Huh?
Oh, well, you can give away one or two. Okay. We have so many.
I'm intrigued.
But I mean, think about a podcast, for example. Uh-huh. Google just recently introduced an algorithm where it takes voice and converts it to text.
Yeah.
So whatever conversations you are having, it is actually helping you with your search engine optimization. So it is a very good idea to start doing podcasting. But I think from my point of view, I think what John and I are trying to do is start a movement. We have literally opened up a Facebook page 2 weeks ago, and we already have almost 2,000 followers. So, I mean, I know it doesn't sound massive in context, but that's in two and a half weeks. Yeah. And we really want to start a movement of saying, okay, look, let's look at the outside in and see what goes on and how other people make it from nothing to something.
Listen, guys, you got, what, 2,000 followers in how long?
Real quick.
Exactly.
I mean,
I'm sitting on 6,000 followers on Twitter, and I've been on here since, I'm gonna say, since 1982.
Facebook.
Yeah.
So since 2011. No, I mean that's phenomenal. But this is what I'd like to understand, because when we talk about podcasting, it's you know, like in movies, there's different genres, there's different stuff that people offer, and this is what I'd like to understand from your side, because I mean, there's obviously the aspirant hip hop artist that thinks that he can rap.
Yeah.
Tobella.
Sorry, Tobs.
Toblerone. Now I
want to hear. It should be called Toblerone. Oh. Pointy chocolate, man. Come on.
I'm just making fun of him. I promise you, he's not one of those guys. But there's obviously that one guy out there that, you know, I don't know, he rapped back in high school, and he still thinks he has it in his 40s,
sure,
I guess.
Sure.
And now he's decided, you know what, he's going to put himself out on SoundCloud, and everyone's going to download his stuff. And then you have someone that thinks that, listen, we're going to, funny enough, talk about smoking and driving pretty soon. So some people smoke a bit too much, and then they think that they have wisdom that they don't necessarily have. And, you know, they talk a whole bunch of interesting, weird stuff, and then boom, they have a podcast. What's yours? And I like the fact that you said that you want to start a movement.
Yeah, so the Carmen and I met when I did the Carmen Murray show with Carmen, and I was just struck by how we have such similar but different kind of energy. So we try to boil down. So we have this really cool relationship where we don't always agree, but it's in a really good, like what I call a healthy tension. We actually like push each other, and then it's quite good. So we try to figure out what is it that is so different about us, and yet we bond. So we realize that we both feel like outsiders. So just to refine the underdog idea, we now realize what we perceived as underdogs, actually outsiders. Both of us felt unworthy of being inside. This is a very common psychological thing called imposter syndrome, where you don't feel authentic, and it's actually normally only experienced by people who are really capable. So then we started looking around the world and realizing that the one factor that seems to define and combine various people who've done amazing things is that very few of them are in the middle. Very few of them have grown up secure that they belong. There's a very powerful positive part of a negative driver, because being on the outside can feel very lonely. But if you can learn to ingest that and kind of, you know, use it, that drives incredible innovation. So we are excited about that. And then we suddenly realized that everyone we spoke to felt the same way. Every single human being feels on the outside. And if you think about marketing, that is exactly what marketing hits you on. It wants you to feel on the outside so it can give you a solution to get on the inside.
Yeah.
Everything you buy is basically telling you that you're an outsider, and now you can get in, buy our product or our service. And so we started talking to really incredible people about why are they outsiders and what are they doing about it? What have they used that feeling for?
I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, the one thing that you mentioned, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so to speak.
John, go for it. You wouldn't be the first.
Oh, we love that.
but being the outsider, you know, being the outsider is what makes you work so hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you know, if, you know, you feel like, Gersh feels like the outsider when it comes to radio, because I'm not sort of the consummate, every recognizable name. Everyone knows this guy. You know, he has this. He's no. There's a
Do
long
they know
list.
That you make a brilliant comic, by the way? I read your comic. It's really good.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering.
But do you understand
that.
What I'm saying? Something like that as well.
Absolutely.
You always feel like an outsider. You're not quite the insider. You're not part of that particular group. So when you do whatever you have to do, you have to work so much harder, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you experience?
Yeah. And I love the idea of if you want to make great music, for example, right? Mm-hmm. What do you have to do? You have to turn your back to the crowd. If you want to become the conductor and get those instruments to work, yes, the instruments are going to be out of tune for a while until the more you practice, the more you learn to play the instruments and everything to synchronize. Then the melody comes. And I think that's how our lives work. And I think John was just talking about some of the guests we were interviewing. Can I drop a name?
You can.
A couple of spoilers are needed. I mean, that's
Faith Popcorn, who is like my, oh my gosh, I don't even have a word. She's my fairy godmother. Because of her, I have gone insane in marketing, and she's the world's top futurist. Uh-huh. And she has a 95% accuracy. Of predicting the future, and she's from New York.
And a futurist doesn't mean that you're a psychic, by the way. It's someone that looks at trends.
Yeah.
Predicts those trends,
actually come true. And her thing is she's actually hyper aware in the present. That's what we loved about meeting her, was her hyper awareness of what's going on right now. That's actually the art of telling the future, is being present on earth right now. Yeah.
Because a lot of people you remember growing up on Beyond 2000, remember?
Yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of the stuff didn't happen.
Y2K.
No, it didn't happen. Oh.
It didn't happen. And it was very disappointing. Australians, they always mislead.
Also, I mean, just because they were getting the sunrise a little earlier than us, they thought they were ahead.
They were ahead of
Come
time.
Come on.
They got a lot of stuff wrong. But I mean, ultimately, that's... So you're saying about this future. Sorry, I got... Every time I hear futurist, I'm like,
No, I know, but I mean, that's exactly how I feel about Faith Popcorn. And we... somehow managed
Sorry,
to get an interview.
Can I just say Carmen got the interview? I just want to give credit where it's due. I was like, you're not going to get her. Like, she's in New York. She's like really famous. She's like, Carmen got an email from Faith saying, hi, I'd love to be on your podcast. I was blown away.
Wow.
Booyah.
Booyah. And you know what else happened? Uh-huh. I have to tell you this. She then said, I'm actually in South Africa next week. I want you guys to come and join me for dinner. It was one of the best interviews I've ever had.
My goodness.
And we sat with the Dalai Lamas in there.
There were some interesting folks at the dinner. And, we had dinner with Faith. It was amazing.
Certainly
my first dinner with Faith.
Good one. Good one on you.
Oh, my God.
So I take it, based on what you are teasing here, because in what you just said was a bit of a teaser, there's some really big names that we can look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
And high-profile people. I mean, apart from... The fact that the two of you would obviously give us a really high-quality, awesome podcast, the guests that you get on are not sort of like Johnny come lately.
So I think there's a tendency in South Africa for people to trot out the same usual suspects. And that's part of my thing of giving up performing comedy. Like, you become the same old, same old. So if it's this topic, there's that person. Like, it's almost like a tick box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But the world changes. So we... When Carmen nailed Faith, that sounds pretty dodgy.
It's
after the watershed.
It is after 10. I'm sure it's only grown-ups now.
When Carmen confirmed the Faith Popcorn interview, and not only that, but also confirmed another really famous speaker from the States. I don't know how much we're going to say it. But anyway, then it raised the bar, because now I'm like, wow, we can't just pull out the old address book and like trot through this thing.
Yeah.
We are now... I have to bring some people to this party now. We're bringing. There are some local people that we felt were outstanding examples of outsiders. I want to just mention one of my favorite things we've done was talk at length to Professor Jonathan Jansen. That man is just like, I went to bed that night so glad that he's on this planet at the same time as us. He's just an incredible, and he's outside because he's trying to fix education on his own. It's such an amazing thing he's doing.
And the interesting thing, mentioning him as an example, at the moment he's pretty much an outsider. But
Absolutely.
For a very long time he was an insider, and from the perspective of everyone, if you thought education, Professor Jonathan Jansen, and then... Yeah. post, or not even post, but around about the time of hashtag roads must fall, hashtag yeah. fees must fall, he became pretty much an outsider because people were like, no, he has funny ideas, non-woke ideas, that we don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
And therefore, he becomes sort of that guy that we don't necessarily want to engage with anymore.
When a man of that stature, first of all, is deeply irreverent and very funny and super smart because he makes everything he says sound super simple. When he tells you about the fact that it doesn't matter how much you talk about the fourth industrial revolution, if children are drowning in toilets at school and don't have food, you have no business talking about the fourth industrial revolution. Like, these children don't have food security. They're not safe from their teachers. So what do you mean, AI? Like, we haven't got to, like, basic humanity yet. That's a huge thing when the president's talking about, you know, the cloud and like machine learning and we're all going into this glorious fourth industrial revolution. Like, no, we aren't, bro. This man is like, he's like Yoda. I thought he was like the Yoda of local education.
Yeah.
Just in his robe with his like stick and he's like, okay, Erks, back to basics. Walls, plumbing. Like basic decency, dignity.
Yeah.
So that was an incredible...
How about maybe the teacher not trying to date a 14-year-old in his class?
100%.
I mean, like really...
100%. Pass rate should not be pregnancy test results.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's fascinating. And so let's talk about... Because a lot of it then doesn't just deal with the global village that you can easily get lost in. Because a lot of...
Yeah.
You know, I can sit here and we can do a global show, you know, and I can also say we're not going to be parochial and we're going to focus on this. And believe me, I have a massive interest on what happens outside of South African borders. But ultimately, if it doesn't resonate with people who live in this country, they don't generally get it. They couldn't care less and they move on.
Yeah.
But and there's a lot of big stuff that happens in this country. Let's be quite honest. And a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily pay attention to because we all painted in our little corners because I vote EFF, I vote ANC, I vote DA. Had a conversation like this weekend. I was like, dude, get a grip. It's not about your political party. It's about what the hell is happening in your environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you, is that what you're trying to bridge? Get people to think about the world that they live in, whether it be their local neighborhood all the way through to what happened, when Donald Trump wakes up and farts and it has an impact.
Emissions.
Emissions.
Sorry. Emissions. But listen, I totally agree with you. And actually, John and I, when we were workshopping this podcast and what we're going to do, because there's disruption diaries, which we also need to talk about. But one of the things is I said to him, we need to set rules. Who are we going to interview? Who is going to be part of the conversation? And he's like, but why? And I'm like, well, this is one guy that I would not have on the show because of
what you do that too.
I told him.
I have a list as well, believe me.
Oh, really?
I do have a list.
And I said to him, I don't want this person to come on the show. And he's like, but why not? I say, well, he's got a sexual harassment history and I'm not comfortable with it. But why are you not comfortable? So he kept on asking me why? And then as we were sitting, I realized, oh my gosh, I mean, you've been clean for 14 years. Mm. If you had to have a relapse, am I going to abandon you? And in that moment, I was just like, who am I to judge other people? So it's about turning your mess into a message. If you turn your mess into a message, then you can be on the show. And I think the premise of that whole idea was whoever we're going to choose, we have to realize that some people are not going to have the same opinions that we have. Yeah. But we need to respectfully disagree.
Absolutely.
Which is important, obviously. For me, it's almost a case of, and I just want to, because I saw the look you gave me, John, and for the second time this evening, I'm going to say, don't judge me, John.
Okay.
Stop judging me.
It's very hard for me. As you've just heard, I don't take drugs. Life is very complicated. I'd be sober all the time, Grishal.
And he's vegan.
And you're vegan.
Yeah, I've eaten.
Why do I like this guy so much?
I've eaten plants for about 7 months. It's an experiment, and
how is it?
Well, you know, apart from the like ridiculous level of, I didn't realize that when you tell people that you don't eat animal products anymore, you enter this like arena of like, it's like a bare knuckle boxing ring. The public becomes like Conor McGregor suddenly. They want to fight you about it. Like,
kill that animal. Yeah,
it's not a discussion, it's a decision. And so all I can tell you, because I know there's lots of theory out there, I've done a research. I have drastically reduced my risk of heart disease.
No, of course.
I may have increased my risk of stroke. There is some evidence that it's not,
not
hugely like conclusive, but there is a possibility. I'm trying to balance it out. When I exercise, after not exercising for quite a long time, I find I'm able to run further easier and I can swim faster without as much.
Whoa.
Like without
you swim?
Failing. Yeah. So I have okay. I have that stamina which I didn't have before.
You're the second person actually to say that, because a friend of mine in the office, not just a colleague but actually right. friends, he told me recently he went vegan and he's been telling me the same thing. And the only reason why I asked you is I'm not actually asking because I'm like, oh, why are you not eating meat?
No. And I
know
how
that do you come
wouldn't.
To my bride?
Yeah, you're not that guy.
Yeah. No. Lee, our producer, is vegan.
Right.
And she very cunningly, while I was covering for Azania Mosaka during the December holidays,
right.
was getting me to eat all this vegan food.
But it's delicious.
Right.
Exactly. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So you don't have to have meat.
But also, just to be clear, like, you know, you get vegan junk food. I mean, it's not like everything vegan is good for you.
Sure.
You know, if you're eating like vegan burgers every day, it's not good for you. Like, so what they I would good. Recommend is they are very good. They're delicious. But if you get the right one, you should try eat whole food about 80% of the time. So you should eat unprocessed, like whole plant food 80% of the day. If you really want to eat a good diet, like that's something you should do. You should cut sugar out completely, which I
But that's not, that I imagine myself as this proper then herbivore under those. So. And then you know what happens? Then the tiger comes jumping out of the bush and you're dead. You
of
see,
course.
You tried to kill me, John.
You see.
It was a massive segue. Massive segue. Yeah. We went from your podcast into veganism.
Totally, yeah.
But
let's get back.
It's tied in.
Is it tied in?
So yeah.
Okay.
We don't just interview people on the outside. Every week, we think of something which the other person has never done that will disrupt their life. And then they have to accept the challenge.
Wow, that is awesome.
So we've started it.
That is awesome, but it can be scary.
On the first episode, I challenged Carmen to eat plant-based for a week.
Okay, that's still acceptable.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously we were in video contact the whole time because we'll publish those videos online as each episode goes out. So I know what she went through and it was a lot more hectic than I thought it was going to be. Actually, I felt bad at certain points, but Carmen pulled through. She did it. She found insights. She expanded the meaning of it into other parts of her life. That was quite incredible.
That's
on the
awesome.
Other hand,
yeah, and I'm 80% vegan. Like I'm a conscious eater.
I won't lie. I'm still very much an unconscious eater. I still very much am. But one day we'll get there. One day we'll. I guess in the next doctor's visit.
You may or may not, and it's not the end of the world.
No. I think I go through phases. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, "Hey, dude, listen. You basically half dead. You're half past dead." And then I'm like, "Okay, listen. I want to come back to quarter past dead." You know what I mean?
A lot of the research shows that a moderate mixed diet is perfectly fine for a human being.
And that's what I'm trying.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a judgy health thing. It's the other reasons, but if you eat moderately, generally, you can eat anything. I mean, just don't eat poison, obviously.
Yeah, I know.
That's a bad idea.
I want to actually do something here. Can I?
Yeah, by all means.
You're not going to like do the challenge now.
Are you going to challenge me? I just hope that, challenge him.
First of all, I want to ask you.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
What makes you an outsider?
What makes me an outsider? So many things. The list is so
long.
One of the key things, and it's a weird thing because we just spoke about this before the show. So I'm great at sort of like this setting where we're doing a radio show. I know that there's people listening at home and there are potentially thousands, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, whatever number they are. But one-on-one, I'm not great. You see what I'm saying? I'm not that one-on-one guy.
Okay.
So that, I guess, makes me an outsider. What makes me an outsider? I'm pretty much a loner, actually, more than you would imagine. That's another thing, which I guess falls in the same category.
Yeah.
And the other outsider thing is I'm actually quite a geek, despite having very many jocular tendencies. So I'm a geeky jock, if you get my drift.
But you your job is in a sealed glass booth. You make a comic, which doesn't really happen at the shops. I mean, you do that in the quiet space of a studio. I mean, I would say you're pretty much screaming the fact that you're an outsider.
You are, for sure.
Like me, I mean, I work in a room full of people, but I'm in a very cordoned off part of the room, which is designated as the stage, under like different lights, using different sound. I'm completely in another world from the audience. So I am very much an outsider in there.
So now I'm going to challenge John.
Challenge him. Okay. Okay.
No,
okay.
So I've been thinking about this for a while because your challenge that you were supposed to do, you didn't do so well.
I did not do very well.
No. So I am going to set a challenge, but I need time to prepare this. And I haven't run it by you, but anyway. So
no, you really haven't. No.
Just go for it.
You might.
I just have now.
To.
You
I just need
this.
To have. Some distance.
Check how she's moving away.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So there's this thing when we as women go through that time of the month.
Whoa.
Right.
Yeah.
Debit orders. Okay. No. Got you.
When mm-hmm. we go through that time of the month, we're always told, oh, it's at that time of the month. And not a lot of men understand the pain that we as women go through, where we would sit and we would have a conversation and actually feel like we are dying from the inside out.
Right. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I have arranged.
Whoa.
There's premeditation here. Yes, come on, tell me.
I have arranged to simulate a period.
Whoa.
Wow.
I knew we were going there. You're going
to
suffer.
This is kind of interesting.
You are
and
going to
I
suffer.
Want you and I to have a business meeting while
I have this experience.
You have this experience.
Whoa, you are going to.
Challenge accepted.
Whoa.
So you can on the show.
On Talk at 9.
I wonder how that's going to go. I
mean, I'm going to have to
Are you coming
this?
To the meeting?
Please invite me. I need to see this.
I'm going to invite Gershwell as he's going to be my sister in getting through this.
Wait, hang on. You mean I'm going to be...
It's like, come join us. Somebody has to film because I have to have a meeting
I'll
with him.
I'll go through it, dude. You can just film.
Oh, cool.
And remember, he's only going to experience the pain, not the emotions, not the...
Yeah, all the other stuff that comes with it.
How do you know it won't trigger like my feminine side? I mean, maybe it will engage my...
No, you know? John.
No?
You okay. don't understand what it's about then. That's exactly why you should do it. But it's okay. also to understand from the outside in.
Okay, cool.
What life is for women.
Sure.
That time of the month.
Okay. And cool.
Yeah.
I think that this cool. is a stunning challenge because, and I've seen it. I've seen the challenge. Yeah. I've
just not John's Christmas.
So there is technology that exists that will recreate.
Yeah.
This thing.
I think if it's little electrodes, it's electrodes that they attach to you and then they give you a certain voltage.
How do you know about this? And I've never heard of it.
Dude, and I promise you, I've seen guys crumble. Like guys are literally sitting there in tears and I'm talking about so it's going to be serious.
I'm worried that I react really differently from how everyone thinks.
And especially since it's going to be a business meeting,
if I
asked
to keep
to see
the electrodes,
have to be focused.
I mean,
wow.
Can I take these home? Neville.
And I think those electrodes can go all the way to labor to sort of like
seriously?
To simulate labor pains. It's crazy because I've done it with guys that were
wow.
Because as men, we're always like, oh no, I can handle it.
Can you just have like somebody hitting me with a tennis racket? Like, this is like a real deal.
Woo! It's gonna be exciting.
So I
take that challenge.
Okay.
I mean, you can film it.
That is actually stunning, and then that would make for such great conversation.
And
tell me what.
I really hope it's like really hard to get through because I think I need to know that.
Yeah, so it's not going to be like a 7-day thing, but it's going to be a one moment, one chance in your lifetime.
Right, well, you know, I think that's a good thing.
And then give us perspective.
Okay.
Well, guys, you've heard it your first time on Talk at 9. John accepting the challenge from Carmen. He's going to wear the electrodes.
Sure.
During a business meeting. You'll let me know when it happens.
And do the people
I can clear my schedule.
The meeting know that I'm wired up.
No, they can't. They possibly, they shouldn't.
You are evil. It is Sunday, okay? It is a day for the good people. And now you'll be, that's evil, okay?
I missed mass today, so I'm... I missed mass.
So did I.
I think that nobody should know.
Okay, well, that adds another dimension. Because what?
Because
they know, then they're going to sit there and everyone's going to be, ah, shame, John.
Yeah, you want me to be like... you want me to be in an uncaring... environment because that's what you're
like,
saying
exactly.
So I think I must be in an uncaring
because
environment.
That's the point, isn't it? Because
fact,
I mean, you're not going to walk in. I
no
mean, women
knows.
Don't walk with placards saying like it's their time of the month.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's not. Yeah, exactly.
And I've never heard someone raise that in a meeting. So
ever.
Just give me a break. I'm just like
ever.
I'm on. You know, it's not a good time. No one's ever said that.
Is we told
so
not to
I'm
say
not
things
I'm
like
not
that.
Allowed to even hint that it's going on.
No.
Wow, this has become a really interesting challenge.
I mean, the rules that apply to women.
Yeah, must apply to me.
To me, to you in that instance. Because, I mean...
Well, you know, Faith said technology is pointing towards the future being fluid. This is the new concept for it. But like, no, but if you think about it, like, so gender, race, anything which is binary will become more fluid on the basis of technology.
Exactly.
So people will be able to flick genders. You know, race will be a bit more problematic because I don't know that you can assume blackness. I don't believe that.
You see what I'm saying,
assume whiteness. Mm. But I suppose we laughed with when it first came out, this idea that you could simulate things with sensors. Oh, yeah. Mm. And now it's actually pretty advanced. So who knows?
Exactly. I think it's going to be a stunning experiment. But listen, guys, final one now. When is the podcast launching? Has it launched already? Right. I mean, no, I'm talking about obviously...
Please speak to our superb marketer on this one.
Yeah, yes. See, I'm the marketing ninja.
Go for it. Go for it.
So we are...
Please market me.
Okay. Okay. comes at a fee.
I introduced her to one guy with quite a big company, and now she markets him. So, you know, she's pretty good at this.
I'm broke, dude.
So the podcast on 11th of February at 24 minutes past 11.
24 minutes past 11. What do people look for?
They just have to go to the Outsiders Facebook page and just be there. It's Outsiders ZA.
Outsiders ZA. Okay.
Yeah, they can just go there and then we're going to launch it and we're going to drop it. And yeah.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
All the documentaries of my vegan challenge
are there, and my upcoming excitement and electrode experience.
I'm really looking forward to it. Please don't forget.
I'm
really
going to invite you, dude. We just have to figure out why you'd be in the meeting.
And tell you about it.
Because people were like, "Why is Gershwald in the meeting?" So we'll just figure that out. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure.
Yeah. Well, now I've also told the whole world on the radio. Maybe not my best moment as a planner. Anyway.
I can see someone turning to you during a meeting like, "You're having your period, aren't you, John?" Straight up. My next guest is going to throttle me. I kid you not.